to The Mac Show. I know you said The Big Show then, but it's not. It's The Mac Show. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, and there's not much as ever, but we'll still do it. We'll still do it. It'll be grand. Don McAllister, top left, starting us off. How you been, bud?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, thank you very much. Yeah, 2 weeks on the run. Must be a record, so.
Yeah, no, because you've had a bit of a break, so.
Yeah, well, I'll try my best to. Oh, I don't know about next week, because you might have to move the time a bit, but we'll see, we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out what to do about next week's shows, because I've got to work Thursday and Friday, so.
But good to be here, though.
On Thursday, I'll be getting pished afterwards, so. And you're going drinking tonight.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, that's next week.
Oh, next week.
Yeah, yeah, once a week's enough for me, you know, so.
Once a week.
No, just meeting some old school friends next Friday. So that's why, if it is late, I might be able to attend, but we'll see.
Yeah, good. Next to him, Adam on line 5, but shuttled around and a utilitarian.
You're going to be all messed up for the next show now.
Yeah, no, it'll be fine. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's pissing down there, you said. The rain comes.
Yes, it is. Yeah, the rain finally came. It's good for us.
That's all we've had.
You know, because if that doesn't happen, California becomes a giant dry tinderbox, basically, for the summer.
Yeah.
There's a piece of land near us called Worcester, and there's people in Worcester haven't seen grass for months, since before Christmas. It's in a right old state. The floodplains are just... And it go. I was taking the train down to Taunton for a meeting a couple of weeks ago. And I looked left and looked right, and there must have been half a mile of water left and half a mile of water right on one of the flats.
Yeah.
It was,
oh my gosh,
real bad. So don't complain about the rain, boy.
Well, here it's not a complaint. We love it. It's just like we could use more. So yeah. It's good. It's a good thing.
But there's a limit.
I lived up, you know, I lived up north where Kelly is, and I know about rain.
Right. Does it rain proper in where you are, Kel?
Lots. Like, if you park your car in the driveway, you can grow moss on it.
Ooh.
In certain parts, yeah. It's.
And how have you been, Kelligamont?
I've been well. How are you?
I'm fine. Sorry to have messed you around a bit last week, but thank you for understanding.
Yeah, no problem at all.
I'm useless at this bloody game. I don't know why I bother.
What
you been up to, then?
Little of this, little of that.
App Camp for Girls is at Macworld, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And we had karaoke this week.
Right.
For just kind of a kickoff for 2014 App Camp stuff. And got everybody together. That was a lot of fun.
Excellent. Are you worked out whether you're coming to Macworld yet?
Not yet.
Good man.
Should be soon.
Okay, well, we'll see. We shall see. And last but by no means least, windswept and tired and blocked off in the road, Greeny Boy.
Hello.
How you been?
All right.
You sound like you want a rant, mate.
No, I'm not on a rant.
All right, okay.
Not at all. I'm a bit fed up that they blocked the bottom of the road and the top of the road, so I can't go anywhere, but other than that...
That's what you get for living next to a river, mate.
Well, that's trouble, isn't it? You know what I did today?
Tell us.
For the first time in about 10 years...
You...
watched a video.
As in like a video, a VHS cassette?
A VHS cassette.
Bloody hell, I haven't even got anything that I can play those with, so.
I've got one on my desk, right here.
Well, cool. What did you watch then, Greeny?
I watched the very first video I ever bought, which is probably about 25 years ago. I was working, and I thought, I'm bored, I want to put something on while I'm working, and, all right, very first video... 25 years ago, three guesses. Go on.
A James Bond film.
No.
Go on.
Do you want a clue at this point?
Yeah, go on then. With Nell and I.
Oh, no.
Not old enough.
Last one?
What can we clue first?
Going back in time.
Back to the Future.
Hey, Don's the winner.
God.
Hello, my name's Don. Wow. I'm the winner.
Well, that's a shit film in HD.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm joking.
Shenanigans.
I'm joking. I'm joking before I get a length of rope. Jesus.
Do you think there's something about it? So I brought this video on a videotape 25 years ago or something. And watching it was very different to... I've got it on DVD, and I've also got it on HD on the old digital version. But watching it on videotape was super special. Do you think this... You know, like a ghost, right? They say that it's stuck in the stone tape, that a ghost is presented to you because it's recorded in the fabric of a building.
Right.
Do you think that there's any part of your history or your emotions that go into a videotape that, because videotapes are receptive to this sort of stuff, that won't go into a DVD or a digital format?
Dude, are you suggesting that your spirit's embedded in that VHS cassette?
Absolutely. I think the whole process of buying that tape, watching it with my mates, all of that stuff is embedded in that videotape. I'm watching it.
It couldn't be a memory.
No. Well, I'm asking your opinion.
So how did it manifest this to you then, Greeny?
Well, it was just a good vibe.
Yeah, well, that's you imprinting your emotions onto something you remember. It's not...
Not necessarily.
It doesn't mean there's any frigging data in the magnetic core of the videotape, is there?
Mm.
Well, I just...
Oh, Don, don't give him any credence, for Christ's sake. It'll be the whole friggin' show.
Well, I don't... Don, what do you think?
Yeah, well, if I tend to side with you, and I have to say it's...
Yeah, it's bollocks.
That's what I'm going to put me.
All right.
Ever the diplomat, you.
Oh, come on then, Kel, what do you think?
I think he's half right. I think it's the memory. I don't think it's embedded in the tape, but I think it's the memory of it. I mean, I have movies like that.
Well, I said the memory thing. It's the emotion. It's the imprinting. He's talking about the fact there's something in the frigging tape, physically. Ghost in the VHS, says Bookery.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far.
See? Double bollocks. What about you, Adam?
Right, okay, there are some spiritualists, right, who can, I can't really call them, if you give them something like
charlatans,
a
that's
piece
the word
of jewelry
you're looking for.
Or whatever, they'll hold it and they'll be able to say, this was given to you by XYZ, or this has got these memories and stuff like that. And I think it's exactly
that's because
the
they've read the inscription on it.
No.
That stuff is just a cold read. There's a lot of ways that people do that sort of thing. Like, if you handed me your keys and there's a key ring on it, and say it's a little piece of, it's like a shrinky dink or something that someone's colored for you, then I'm going to look at it and I'm going to go, gosh, I think this key ring was given to you by one of your children. And I'll start out vague, and then you'll be like, yeah, and you'll start filling it in for me. You'll be like, yeah, it was my son. And I'll go, okay. And then I start thinking, okay, so boy's names start with R and S most often. So I can go, I'm thinking an R and S, maybe somewhere down there in that end of the alphabet. And then, you know, then you're like, why? Yes, it was Rory. And I'm like, oh, Rory. Okay. This was a gift from your son, Rory. And then you go, that was amazing. But all I did was guess.
Yeah.
If I gave you a videotape of Back to the Future, what would you think then?
How unbelievably old school you are.
Greeny, the only way that any of you's in that video cassette is if you puked in it one night with your mates when you were watching it. I'm aghast that we talked this frigging long.
Think with videotapes as well is, you know, the ones that you recorded back in the day off the telly, and they record a bit before and a bit after, a bit of the news and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a bit of time travel as well, isn't it?
I love those.
That's true. That is true.
So, in exactly the same process.
So you saw a bit of the news. What was the news story?
Of your personality or memories of that time are embedded into the physical object.
I think you're reaching there, but okay.
Aha!
Welcome to the British Tech Network Metaphysical Show, everyone.
We did start the. What was the show we started, Grinny? You, me, and Dr. Happy Mac. We only did one episode, but it was good. Unexplained, wasn't it? UXP show. There we go. And that was Adam staring out the window now, and he's gone blank. See? Gone completely.
Yep.
Oh.
The Week in Apple, what's going on? Well, Apple, apparently, have filed a patent for a solar-powered laptop with dual-sided display. So yeah, right. Never mind discussing about the Mac Pro or the iPad Pro. When's Apple coming out with a solar-powered laptop with a dual-sided display, then?
Probably never.
Yeah, I think probably never. But Tim Cook has said this week that innovation is in their core and they're not lacking new ideas.
Well, this is all from the... we had the earnings call earlier on in the week, didn't we? So a lot
we
of
did.
That,
mm-hmm.
Lots of the discussions have been around that and the usual story of how they've done really well, but not well enough for Wall Street, et cetera.
Nowhere near well enough.
Well, that's always the way, though, isn't it? I mean, $13 billion profit on $56 billion in revenue.
Well, they missed their targets. Whose targets? Wall Street's targets.
Oh, okay. Stuff Wall Street. God, yeah. What a bunch of assholes they are. Nearly $60 billion in sales in Q4.
Honestly.
I could do with that. That's a good turnover. I mean, I know there's always the thing about Wall Street overdoes it and that kind of stuff, but I think the real problem that Apple have got at the moment, and the real problem that the world has got, is that companies like Apple are just basically sumps for money and they can't do anything with it. Apple's sitting on $140 billion or whatever it is in the bank, and you're like, that's money that should be, it should be circulating. Money is oil, effectively, oil in an engine. It has to circulate and be cooled and moved and pushed around, and all of this money's just in big corporations going absolutely nowhere. And Apple's not getting any of it back into the country. US economy is shit because of Apple. What the hell's going on? Adam, I was just about to say something's burning. But you're actually playing Back to the Future.
He's got everything. He's got the car and everything.
He's actually playing Back to the Future backwards.
Yeah, I flipped it. Is it flipped still?
Does that get us around the copyright issues?
No, you're in trouble. We better stop.
That's the very start, isn't it? I can see that, man.
Mm-hmm. That's the very start.
Sorry, I had to.
Backwards,
had to be done.
Backwards, Back to the Future. There's a few WTFs in the chat room. Go on, Don, you were talking.
Was I?
I said about the money. No, the money
was throwing the whole show off. We were getting all serious.
And it was being a real problem for the American economy.
Oh, yeah. But was it 60 or 70% of the cash that they're holding is actually offshore, and they can't get it back in. But they must have plans for it. Surely, they must be saving up for, well, hopefully not for a rainy day. But what would you do with all that cash? I mean, they can buy several huge companies several times over. So
I think they have more money than Luxembourg. Someone wrote,
that's crazy.
They've got a lot of money, an awful lot of money. I mean, I think there's been some deals. If you look at the Mac Pro being built in California or being built in the US. I think that was a kind of, all right, we'll let you have a little bit of payment holiday if you bring it back and you invest it in the US economy. So I reckon they've probably got some of the overseas money back in via a kind of a subversive route. And there's another thing as well. There's Obama's announced Apple-backed school broadband initiative.
Who would you say announced that?
Obama.
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 I thought you said Balmer. Like, what?
<that's> like...
No, not quite. Obama has maybe Obama's going to become the new CEO of Microsoft.
Hey, there you go. He's going to be looking for a job in a few years, right?
Let's start.
Or does he have one more opportunity? I can't remember. He's in his second term, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's start that rumor. During the early State of the Union address, President Barack Obama mentioned that the Federal Communications Commission, along with tech companies such as Apple, Microsoft, Sprint, and Verizon, would be providing a framework needed to connect over 115,000 schools and 20 million students to a high-speed internet over the next 2 years. So there's a possibility that certainly Apple and Microsoft could be bringing some cash back in to pay for that and getting a bit of a... Because that's what I'd do. If I was a US economy and I needed money in from Apple and Microsoft that have got it overseas, I would say, all right, well, if you fund some projects... then we'll give you the PR on it and we'll give you a little bit of a tax break and you can bring a little bit more in over and above what you bring in to fund the project. No?
That would be forward smart thinking, though.
Which is not what you think the American government's capable of.
This is not what we do.
No. Not a bit.
I'd buy a fishing boat, personally.
What with a hundred?
I've always wanted a fishing boat,
dude. With 140 billion, you could buy an ocean.
Jobs did buy that boat, right?
Well, it's aren't they in dispute?
I mean, I don't know what he's thinking. I think he's old. It's an ugly bugger, isn't it? Don't you think so?
It is. I mean,
yeah, I have to agree. Yeah, it's horrible.
It looks more like a warship than a pleasure cruiser.
They wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let the Jobs family have it a bit, would they? Because there was some sort of.
Well, isn't there still debates about cost and agreements on who's paying who and.
Yeah, it was impounded for a short while, but I think it's all. Is it all resolved now?
I'm sure Mrs. can afford it.
To be fair, Steve was probably. I mean, he was at the end of his life, so he might not have been all there. And. And he probably drew the sketch out in a pub or something. So this is what I want the boat to look like. And so they built it, and then he was dead. And then the family said, I don't want that. That's horrible. And so you can sort of see what happened, can't you?
Well, I've put a picture of it on the front, and it looks like it's got like a chrome bow. And then there's like windows set in it like it's an office block.
See all those IMAX across the bridge?
There are. I just pointed. They are IMAX.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bloody hell!
I just want one of them little boats that you can go.
They might just be cinema displays, right? Probably not IMAX.
Yeah, probably cinema displays, but they're all Apple
video wall, a 1980s video wall.
Well, the front looks like half of a MacBook Pro or a Mac Pro, excuse me. It's probably the same chrome color.
Ever seen photos of inside the boat? I bet you that's something special.
Yeah, I bet.
I've only got pictures of the outside, but it's a pig ugly piece of crap.
It is, isn't it?
Well, that's not a very good picture. I wouldn't get paid for that one.
No. He got pissed on.
Yeah, it's kind of rather boxy, right? I mean, it's like a houseboat almost.
Yeah, houseboat. That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly it. I'm probably in no end of deep shit for sharing the copyright images or something there, but
don't worry. After playing Back to the Future, you'll be getting some letters.
How can that be a big image? That's not working. That's not good.
Forward them to
me.
Oh no,
I've got porn spammy thing crap now. Bastards. Oh, hang on. There's one inside. Those Macs, the IMAX.
Oh, right.
It's what you steer it with, by the looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's no wheel. Don't you love that Ethernet cable that's just creeping out of one of the cabinets there, so the cabinet door can't shut properly and make it look nice. He's probably had to run that from the other room.
That's not very Steve-ly.
Because the Wi-Fi's gone down. Oh, I've got a Cat 6e in the cable on the other side. I'll put that in. There's no inside pictures. Now, that's a really disgusting-looking picture. That's it. That's the boat. One next to it looks far better.
Yeah, that's really not very boat-like.
Is Mrs. Jobs into boats?
I can't use it, but... that's weird, isn't it?
I think that's way out. That's a long, 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 long way out of being a good-looking piece of kit. But like you say, he was dying, so...
I had a fish once.
As of our budget as well, I would think so.
Go on, Greeny.
I had a fish once. It was an Oscar. Big old bastard he was.
What's an Oscar?
And we unplugged the tank by mistake. Well, I unplugged it and plugged the Hoover in to Hoover the lounge and forgot to plug the heaty thing back in again. So the fish didn't last very long. So when it was dead, I had this cardboard box, a shoebox, and we put silver foil all the way around it to make it sort of waterproof and waterproof at the bottom, and put Oscar, the fish called Oscar, drenched it in petrol, lit it, and sailed it down the river in almost like a Viking farewell.
I'm sure he thanked you for it.
What? I mean, there it is. I mean, it wasn't my fish, actually. It was my mate Pete. And it might not be me who actually unplugged the thing and forgot to plug it back in again. But it was an accident. Obviously, no animal cruelty intentionally involved. But There it is.
So that is the tale of Oscar the Fish.
Oscar the Fish. And it was pretty emotional, actually, when we set fire to him and we sent him down the river and he sailed right under the Iron Bridge and it was good.
How the f*** does that tie up to Steve Jobs' yacht, then?
I think he's thinking it should be flamed.
We need to set the yacht on fire and set it out to sea.
Maybe that's what they did to Steve Jobs, put him in a big coffin and set fire to him and chuck him down the river. I wouldn't mind that.
Put him on his billion-dollar yacht and shove him off with some petrol on him.
Yeah. Well, chuck him on his ugly boat, set fire to him and push him off. What do they do with him? Is he buried or is he cremated or what?
I think he's cremated, isn't he?
I honestly don't remember.
You've got to do that Google search. Actually, I might get refused entry into the US on this based on this search I'm about to do. Is Steve Jobs buried?
Where? No, they froze him next to Walt Disney. I would guess he was cremated.
He doesn't seem like they.
Right.
No.
I don't like where this is going.
Don't do this, Greeny. I will never get...
Should we move on?
If I said...
No, all I'm going to do is tell you that... he's Buddhist or whatever, so I think that...
He's buried at Alta Mesa Memorial Park.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want to, but MacNerds know the truth. They froze him and buried him. You know, he's under Disneyland next to Walt.
Greeny, stop this. You are just, all you're doing, I'm taking this personally, because all your intention is this week is to come on this show and ensure that you can get me to say something that means that Homeland Security won't let me into the US or Macworld. I see your game, boy. I see your game.
No, not at all. Anyway, so we're not going to do that. We're not going to... Okay.
Jesus, what made you...
Where is that cemetery?
I don't know. I've got to Google the cemetery now. I mean, it's Alta Mesa Memorial Park.
Well, I just wonder if it's near enough that it's the kind of thing that you can that could be a day trip that would be possible if you were visiting San Francisco.
It's in Palo Alto.
Oh, so yeah.
1904. It's a 72-acre cemetery. Includes traditional burial plots, a mausoleum, and columbarium, whatever that is. Gotta love Wikipedia, aren't you?
I got to do Forest Park Cemetery last summer when we did our road trip to LA. And there's a lot of famous people who are buried there, and it's kind of fun to go and see all of that. Because it's interesting the stuff that like the different sort of things that people have done, like with tombstones or with mausoleums, to see like how they've decorated it or how they've, you know, what it was that they put on there. And it was kind of fun to walk through and see all of those, like, over time.
You lot know this is a Mac show, don't you?
No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, it's not.
Yeah, it hasn't been for some time.
When did that happen?
Afterlife, remember? Yeah.
Graves I Have Visited by Kelly Gamont. Who's your most famous grave then, Kelly, on your collection? Grave spotter.
Well, just the one. Because we went to that one cemetery because there's a lot of old Hollywood and stuff is buried there. So I saw the building where Michael Jackson is, but you're not allowed in unless you have a key, and you only get a key by being a direct family member of the person, of anybody that's inside. So didn't get to go in there. So I guess Walt Disney, because he's buried at Forest Park.
All right. Okay.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
I thought his head was cut off.
No, that's all fiction.
That's why I said allegedly.
That's fiction.
They've got him frozen next to all the sets for the moon landing, Screeny.
Is that right? Did Disney do that?
Not helping. Did
you see the customs thing that I found that I got? The customs form that they made Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins fill in to return back, and it asked them if they were bringing any goods back from where they'd been, and they put moon rocks down, and it's a standard bloody form.
That's awesome.
That's cool. But they made them fill an immigration and customs form in to come back from the moon landings.
That's too funny.
Being picked on. I wonder what the duty was on those. Can you estimate the value of these
moon rock?
These moon rocks, please? No, so Apple's done quite well. It's got its fourth quarter results, and they did well. PayPal is angling for mobile payment partnership with Apple, allegedly.
Hang on, I want to go back to profit just for a second.
Oh, go on, then.
Because there's a fun article that we put up on Tua.
Right.
What can you buy with Apple's profit?
Oh, go on.
So it's $3,316,455,696 Starbucks lattes. $2,620,000 Subway $5 footlongs. 21,869,782 Apple Bandai Pippins. The one that you guys will enjoy. 4,851 Bugatti Veyron Supersports.
Wow.
17 B-2 Spirit Stealth Bombers.
You can buy 17 bombers for $13 billion profit.
With their profit, yes. And 9 Oasis class cruise ships, which would probably all look nicer than Steve's boat.
So,
with $13.1 billion, those are things that you could buy.
How long before Apple funds the U.S. military? It's got its own army.
Oh no!
A standing
Apple
army.
Apple doesn't have the patience for any of that. That's going to be a Microsoft thing. Microsoft and bureaucracy are two great tastes that taste great together. It's not going to be Apple.
It's a B-52. The Apple B-52. Carpet bombing Microsoft headquarters.
That would be kind of funny.
Or actually, no, Samsung's. Because they're friends now, aren't they? They're allies. The Axis forces would be Samsung and Google.
So another thing that we can spend a little bit of time on is that the 30th anniversary of the Macintosh introduction was this last Saturday.
Well, we kind of did 30th Mac last week, and we asked, what was your first and what was your favorite? And you didn't get to do it, Kelly, so you can do your first and do your favorite if you'd like.
My first was a Mac Classic. And my favorite was the PowerBook 1400, the little Lego Mac, which I adore.
Right. I've got, I don't know which one I've got.
I love the 1400. It's so awesome.
I don't think I've got
you popped off the speaker grill and lifted up the keyboard, and there was all the innards of your computer right there staring you in the face. It was awesome. And that was the one that had the clear, like it had the gray plastic top, but then you could also swap out this sort of odd-shaped piece of plastic for a clear one, and they gave you a Photoshop template so that you could design stuff to put underneath it. And that was actually my introduction to Photoshop, because I decided I wanted a different design than what they had. So I took the giant, Bloom County cartoon of Gene Simmons never had a personal computer when he was a kid, and it was the Banana Junior ad from Bloom County. And I took that and I adjusted the image and rejiggered all the art and stuff, because there was this curve along the top. So I took it and adjusted it so that the whole thing would fit, and then printed it out on a color printer and put it in the top of my computer. So it was all super custom. I loved that computer. So much fun to use.
I've got a PowerBook 100 that I've just shown.
Oh, the 100.
And I've got another one here that's got a broken lid that I need to fix. The 5300. Okay.
Oh, the PowerBook Hibachi. They're so cute.
There you go. That's the 5300.
I managed to completely fry my white iBook since G4 since we last spoke. It's really dead now.
Oh, no.
It was dead before. I tried to fix it. Didn't go so well.
It was mostly dead, and now it's really sincerely
dead. Well, when smoke starts coming out of it, you know it's dead.
I reflowed the solder, and it flowed off the desk.
Yeah, the 5300 resembles my 1400.
Yeah.
And I also dug the expansion bays. I thought the expansion bays were pretty groovy. The other thing that's interesting about the 5300, so I'm being cheeky when I call it the PowerBook Hibachi, because that was the one where they had some battery issues, and then a couple of them caught fire. And so that was like the big thing everybody knew. Like first, the thing that everybody knew about Apple before they were like cool when people were still sort of not paying attention to them. The first thing that you heard was Microsoft bought Apple.
Yeah.
And then that was like the big thing that everybody knew. And then after that, the next thing was, didn't they make those laptops that caught fire? And then the next thing after that was, didn't the guy that started it leave and come back? So that, you know, before they turned into the company they are now, that was like the stuff that people knew. But the other interesting thing about the 5300 is that the same logic board and all the bits and pieces that were the insides of a 5300 are the same pieces that are the insides of the 20th anniversary Mac from the one in the Batcave, a.k.a. Spartacus.
Right.
That was the other interesting thing about it, was it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting to me that they took this great, awesome computer. You know, it was basically iMac 1.0 because it was all one piece and it had the speakers down the sides and you put your CD in sideways in the tray and everything. And what was interesting to me about it was that the PowerBook Hibachi was the one that was powering this other beautiful machine with this awesome subwoofer. And like, yeah, as a computer, they were really amazing looking machines.
Cool. But they had a thing on the stage, didn't they, where the developers last Saturday. We had Paul Kent on and he was at that and he tweeted out a few pictures.
Yeah, and I got to talk to one of the original Mac team on the Tuwa Talkcast this last Sunday. Who is a friend of mine, and he's told me some fun stories about working at Apple. Because what's funny to him is that at the time he was hired not too long out of high school, so he was like 19, 20, working on the original Mac project, and he was a kid at the time. He was like the youngin on the team, and he said it's very weird to now be 50, and you know, but I was the kid, and so when they had everybody on stage. That was a thing to him that was very funny to watch. And he had some good stories. Brian Stearns. If you have a Mac, if you have a signed case, he signed it just under Waz's name.
Cool.
That's very cool.
He worked on the software, wasn't it? He wrote Teach Text.
Right. Terry Oyama, I think that's how you pronounce his name, who was one of the two guys who worked on the case design, is in my Mac user group.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I bet he had some good stories for you, too.
Yeah.
God. Does Watts ever go to Macworld?
What?
Yeah, he's usually tooling around outside on his Segway.
He's hard to miss.
Yeah, I know. I can believe he's done that a mile, so. And the 2,000 people chasing after him.
I don't think I've ever seen him inside. I've seen him riding around outside.
I saw him on iPhone keynote day. I did the I was inside for the keynote, came out, and he went by in front of me and then stopped, and somebody stopped him. So he stopped, and while he was there, I said hello to him, and he said hello to me. And then later that same day, Steve was on the floor, on the show floor, showing off iPhones to people. And somehow I managed to end up in, like, this clump of people that was right in front of him and shook his hand. So that was...
Yeah.
Have you watched it since?
That was cool.
I've got a funny Waz story. It wasn't funny at the time, yeah. But... We did the MacMania cruise down to South America, and Waz was actually on the cruise with us as well. But when I gave one of my presentations, I think it was a launch bar presentation, so like a 90-minute presentation about launch bar, just about to start, and then Waz comes in from the back, walks right the way to the front, sits down on the front row right in front of my podium where I'm about to give him a speech, and sat there for the whole 90 minutes taking notes while I was lecturing about launch bar.
No pressure.
No pressure. Yeah.
Nice guy, though. So, really nice.
Yeah, super nice. I got to meet him after he was doing talks for what was that company that made that was taking MacBooks and ripping the screen off?
Modbook.
And putting Modbook. Yeah. He was really into the Modbooks. And so he came and gave a speech at their booth. And afterwards, I went up and got to meet him. So, really nice guy.
Cool.
We need to get him on the show. I did register a request for it, and his wife did his bookings, and she said yes. but you're about 78th on the list. And two years later, I wrote back and said, have we moved up the list at all? And she said, oh, since Jobs died, Steve's got no time at all now. So,
is he still mostly hanging out in Australia?
He's all over
or
the
did
place.
Did he do that? Didn't he talk about wanting to move to Australia, or wasn't there a point?
No, I think he's still in the... He's actually coming to the UK. He's going to be in Birmingham in September.
Oh, really?
All of him in the studio and stuff that.
He's doing a session for an entrepreneur circle thing, an event that's going on. The ICC, is that in Birmingham?
International Convention is smack in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's there in September.
It's where they had the G20 or whatever it was.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You should get him up to the Mac Studios, mate. Greeny. Get him up, plonk him down in front of your condenser and get a good interview out of him.
Who?
Was? Who? Jesus.
Yes. Well, he seems a nice guy, doesn't he?
You would have a show without him. Not to do.
What, with Steve Wozniak?
Yeah.
If you haven't read his book is excellent, by the way. If people want to get a sense of the kind of guy he is and how very different he was from Steve Jobs.
But he comes across, even in the biography of Jobs, he comes across as a very different character in that, very much more sensible, very much, you know, he went and offered all the stuff to Hewlett Packard because he was working for them at the time they developed it, gave him first take on it. And very
but
honorable.
I mean, if you read his book, it's very much in his voice. And I don't know how much of it he actually wrote himself or what, but it's as the whole time I'm reading it, I'm hearing, because you know his voice, and I'm just hearing him and how his cadence and how he talks, because the words flow exactly as he speaks. You know, it's very much in the same genre. So if you haven't read I Was, I really recommend it. I just reread it recently.
No, excellent. Hmm. I haven't read it. I've read the Jobs one, but I haven't read the Wozniak.
I think I Was is better.
Oh, cool. I almost do that then.
I reckon I could get it. I have got a videotape of Steve Jobs.
He's actually in the videotape, is he?
He's in the blooming videotape. It was, I think it was Saatchi & Saatchi or something like that. I had a mate who was working for him. They gave me a videotape of old Stevie doing his thing when he went back to Apple. And it was promoted. It was to all the sort of inner circle and showing the new, you know, the new videos. What do you call them? The ones, the creative ones, you know, like a Think Genius type thing. Yeah. So I got that. But actually, I haven't got that anymore because when I got broken into, they pinched it.
Bastards.
I know. Yeah. And so, I don't know. There we are. There it is. But if we...
No.
We're not going back here.
We're not. Well, I won't be going at all if he keeps this up. Jesus. I've always said that the vibe I go for on our shows is mates down the pub. But I tell you, based on today's show, we'd have cleared the pub by now. There'd be no one in there. They'd go, oh, Jesus Christ, is that lot in the corner reminiscing about the old days? What a pile of bollocks. Chat room's gone off on one. Batman's just wants
talk about some new stuff.
Well, what is there that's new? Nintendo has said it's definitely not bringing any of its games to iOS, but it's looking at service apps that are in the works.
Dumb move.
I mean, that's the end of Nintendo.
Like,
if they would put Mario for $5 on iOS, they would save the company.
Yeah.
Really could, and I totally get what I don't agree, but I understand what they're doing, which is if you want a handheld Nintendo experience, then you buy a DS or a 3DS or a 3DS XL, WTF, BBQ, whatever they're called. So I get what they're trying to do, but on the other hand, for a lot of people, and this is the thing that I don't know if they necessarily understand, like Adam was saying, they could put Super Mario on the App Store for $5 and they would get $5 out of me. As it is, they are getting no dollars out of me because I'm not going to go buy a whole nother thing just to play games on. If I can play most of what I want on my phone, a lot of people are totally happy with an 80% solution. So, yeah, my MP3 player that is also my GPS that, by the way, can make a phone call if I really want to, also plays games. And I don't want to have to carry a whole nother device just for that.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I mean, look at iPod sales. You know, the one thing in Apple's sales call that was down 58%? I can't remember. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Mm-hmm. Was iPods. And that's because we've got iPhones, right? Mm-hmm. People are, convergence has happened. And I was the first person, my friend Clark would makes fun of me because, you know, 10 years ago, I said, there's no way I want, you know, to play my music on my phone. And convergence, I did not believe in at the time. Now, in my defense, it was because at the time it was terrible. Everybody was doing it horribly. And I believe I did tell him, you know, if Apple ever makes an attempt, they're going to probably figure it out and create the, because this is about experiences, the right experience. And So at that time, I would have said, no, I want to play my handheld games on a proper handheld device. But, you know, that time has passed. And I think Kelly's absolutely right. For a majority of people, they don't want another thing. They want everything all in one. They want their music player. They want their communications device. They want their gaming system all in one thing. Because the technology is good now and can support that sort of thing. You know, back 10 years ago, the problem was is they were underpowered. And what you ended up with, and my argument always was, you ended up with this converged device that did a bunch of things really mediocre. Whereas now it can do all these things really great. I mean, the graphics are awesome. You've got great GPUs and things in there. And you can do some amazing things, you know, on these devices. So it makes no sense anymore to kind of have all these separate things.
Right. And that's exactly what it is at the time. And I remember them doing surveys at the time. This was not too long after the Motorola Rocker came out, which held
God, that was a whole
100 songs. Oh, my God. And the experience was just appalling. But I remember them doing surveys and people saying, no, I want a phone that's a good phone and an MP3 player that's a good MP3 player. So I'm going to carry both of them around separately, because and everybody said, no, I'm happy to have the MP3 player in one pocket and the cell phone in the other pocket, because I want a good experience when I'm with my MP3 player and I want a good experience with my phone, and I can't do both. And now you can, and more. And so I think that's,
yeah,
just like, and that wasn't even that long ago. That was less than 10 years ago.
Do we know how Sega's doing? Because now they've done that, right? I mean, they switched to software a long, long time ago. So just as
putting any games in iOS.
Yeah, they've got games on the App Store, I know.
They haven't got any
games. Well, yeah, because they killed off their hardware piece or sold it off and became just a software company.
Yeah.
So have you got Sonic the Hedgehog on iOS?
There's a couple Sonic games. I just don't remember what they are.
I haven't picked it up yet, but I've thought about it. Yeah, I think they do have a Sonic the Hedgehog, and it might even be like the complete thing.
Oh, they might have the odd thing. It's friggin' loads.
No, they have a bunch. I just don't remember what the...
But Sonic was added recently. I think part of the problem is they didn't have Sonic on there till recently, if I'm not mistaken, but I could
like
be wrong.
Official Sonic the Hedgehog. It was like Sonic Racing Rings or something.
Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Sonic the Hedgehog 4.
Sonic, I think Sonic Dash is the new one that was kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, though, they have the original. They have Sonic CD. Yeah, see, so they brought all this stuff to the App Store. So I'd be curious to know if that strategy has worked for them. I haven't been paying that close attention because I'm not a huge gamer, but, you know, if Nintendo's looking for some proof of concept, you know, will this work? They could maybe look to Sega. I mean, they've kind of been out of the game maybe too long. Nintendo still has the name recognition. But, I mean, the Wii U, from everything I've been reading, just bombed horribly.
Yeah, I mean, there was a comment last night in the chat room that everyone said the problem with the Wii U was that everyone thought it was a controller for the Wii. And no one thinks any different, unfortunately, so...
Yeah.
Well, again, it's a terrible experience in a converged device, right? I mean, the thing is ginormous. It's, I don't know what, it's supposed to be some sort of hybrid console, tablet, mobile thing, right? But I think it's just each experience of what it's supposed to be is just horrible. And that's the thing is, and this goes way beyond just gaming systems. And everybody's like, well, because came up the conference call, what's Apple going to do next? And why hasn't Apple moved on anything? And Wall Street responded all negatively to that. Apple hasn't moved on anything yet because, again, they're an experience company. Everybody thinks they're a technology company, or a lot of people seem to. But they're That's really cute. About creating experiences and then building technology to enable those experiences. So, and that's the key. That's why they're so awesome at what they do, because they don't put out junk until they figured out why it needs to exist and how it's going to exist and how it's going to work. You know, other people just sort of throw technology at the wall and hope something sticks.
Well, and how it's going to change too. Like, that's the thing is, you know, there were MP3 players before the iPod, and yep. there were phones that got your email before the iPhone, and mm-hmm. there were weird in-between touchscreen devices before the iPad. All of those things are true things, but none of those were a good experience. They were not a polished experience, and that's what Apple brings to the table. You're absolutely right, Adam. It's the experience of it. It's not the technology of it. They just happen to use technology to get there.
Yeah. I've just kicked Tone from the chat room by mistake. I wanted to get rid of Windows Phone people should be shot. Which is obviously greeny, based on the chuckle.
It's just greeny pestering you.
No, who's got a Windows Phone in this room?
What?
Ewan.
I've got a Pebble Watch that links to it as well.
But again, you know, look at the Pebble Watch or the Galaxy Gear, and they're doing the new Pebble Watch and the new Galaxy. I mean, those things, yes, it's, again, great technology, and they can exist, and it's interesting. But really, the overall experience of, you know, because I have a Pebble Watch, too, and it got better with Smartwatch Plus when I added that. But still, at the end of the day, it's not, the experience of that device is not great. I mean, it's okay. Right,
no, it's not.
But Apple is not going to do just okay.
Apologies if I kick the wrong person from the chat room right now.
What does that mean when you kick somebody then?
It means they're thrown out of the chat room and they can't carry on typing abuse. Though to be fair, hey, you and you suck hadn't typed anything abusive. You git greeny.
It's nothing to do with me. I haven't done anything.
So when you kick someone, can't they just change their name and come back?
They can come back by IP. As the same name. I can't stop them coming back as the same name. So because Tone's come back in as the same name. So.
So you just keep kicking them down and they keep getting back up.
Yeah, until they get fed up.
That's called bullying. And that's what I do to Greeny. Do you know anything about this Guru domain name thing?
Guru.
Yeah, they've released as a suffix to domain names the .guru.
Mm. I'm not sure if they're all out yet or if they've just started. I know if you go to GoDaddy, you can pre-register, but it looks as though you don't actually get it. You just,
getting in line.
Yeah, getting in line basically. Unless you want to pay 1,500 quid or something, and then they'll take it off your hands.
So have you got screencasts online .guru?
No, you know, domain names, I've given up getting lots of different domain names ages ago because it was getting silly at one point. So.
It is, yeah.
I seem to register all kinds of ones for ideas that I have and then build anything for them.
Yeah. No, I never follow through and end up with loads of redirects.
Who has time?
I bought a curry one a while ago, ringticklers.com. It was going to be a curry rating site. And I bought the .co.uk and the .com, and I never did anything with it, but I still say that was an absolute winner.
It really is. Ringticklers.com.
Ringticklers.com, a curry rating site.
That's beautiful.
I have MacPalette.com because I thought for a while that the iPad was going to be called the Palette.
Oh, all right. Now, the only good thing for multiple domains is if I always get the spelling mistakes. So, like, I've got screencasts online and screencast online as well. So
you've got screen cats, haven't you?
I don't know, actually. I might have.
Well, I thought we talked about that on the show.
That's a whole other business
model. You should. That would probably be a lot of traffic.
Greeny was going to buy it when he was doing his EDAM project and that kind of stuff. He was going to buy Screen Cats online.
You got scared. You know, yeah, I'm fairly sure you did buy it because you got scared. I was going to
You
get
bought it on the show, live on the show, I'm sure.
There's nothing quite like getting a domain. Especially when you have a few beers in the evening and you think, oh, what a fantastic domain, you know.
And you never do anything with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's right. I mean, the EDAM project to me was like an ace domain, but I love your, what's it called? Ring Tickler.
Ringticklers.com.
That's fantastic.
I have two that I actually kind of did stuff with. I have Sketched on Paper, which was artwork that I was drawing on paper by 53, and Really Sad Robot, which is just a bunch of pictures of sad robots.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Does anyone follow Faces in Things on Twitter?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're pretty good. I found one the other week. I tweeted out a picture of a 1930s phone that looked like it was just two bells for the eyes and then a round speaker thing, and it looked like a startled phone.
I think you've upset somebody in the chat room.
Why is that?
Really giving you some grief, aren't they? Look at that.
Who is?
Suck on your Windows phone, Ewan. Client exit.
That says Bronwyn. that's not Bronwyn. That's you, mate.
It is not me.
It's bloody it me. You.
How can I be? Look, there I am, British Mac. How can I sign in and sign out? It's not me.
I bought ringticklers.com from uk2.net. See what I did there?
Launch into their advert, you know.
It is. UK2 support us. They're brilliant. They pick up all the bandwidth, etc. You hear it every week, but they're just fantastic. One of the things that we really value here is people supporting us because, you know, we do this out of the love of it. No one's getting paid. We get no money from anyone. We get some kind donations from a few. If you'd like to donate, send it to the PayPal account, bageltechnews@gmail.com. And it all goes towards new equipment and that kind of thing, new microphones, new computers and so on. But UK2 pick up all the bandwidth. The server we're on with them would cost us about £400 a month with the bandwidth that we use up. So they're saving us a fortune. Thank you very much to them and Andy down there, who's a very strong supporter of the network. We really appreciate the support they give us. So please, 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 if you want domain, if you want web hosting, if you want co-location services, dedicated servers, shared servers, then go and see UK2 because they're absolutely brilliant. Go to britishtechnetwork.com first, go to the sponsors page and click on their logo and then come back and get all the offer codes that are there and you'll save yourself an absolute fortune. Have you got a cool thing? Donald, start us off, sir.
Yeah, I'll give you a piece of software that I've had for ages but I haven't used for a while. And I only started to use it quite recently and it always impresses me. It's called MindNode, and it's one of these mind mapping programs. So they do a version for the Mac, MindNode Pro, and they also do versions for the iPad and also for the iPhone. And it's really good. The reason I started using it again is I've started to I was watching some videos that I wanted to make notes from, and I tried taking hand notes, and that was rubbish. And then I tried just typing notes, and that was rubbish. But I actually got MindNode Pro going again, and it's really good. You can do a mind map as you're actually watching the video and take notes at the same time, and it structures it all for you. So if you haven't tried out mind mapping software, it's well worth a go.
Can't you sync your maps as well with this?
You can. This one's got it's got Dropbox syncing. It's also got iCloud syncing as well, which works great. So you can sync your mind maps between all your different devices, just like you can with iWork. Works really well. And it's really nicely put together as well. It's a beautiful application, makes some really nice mind maps. And also, I think you can also export it to OPML format as well. So if you want to, once you've done all your notes, you want to get them into a document, you can export them into OPML and put them into something like Omni Outliner or any other outlining program and boost them up.
$10.
Is that all it is? Do you know? I didn't check how much it was, but...
Yeah, $10 it's showing us, $9.99. So that'd be $6.99, $7.99 here.
Bargain.
Superb. Good pick, mate. Good pick. Like that one. There's some good mind map stuff out there at the moment. That's one of the better ones. Have you got something for us, Adam? Can I get to the loo while you do yours? Because I've bursted.
What?
You got to stretch it out, Adam.
Yeah, take your time.
I got to stretch it out. Well, I'm going to do a couple picks then. I'll do a couple picks. My first pick is Build with Chrome. Have you guys seen this?
No.
So in your Chrome browser, and I think you can do this on, I was going to try it on mobile. I didn't get a chance to do it yet. They now have a Lego set, a virtual Lego set that you can go in and you've got all your kind of bricks and you've got your base plate and you can go in and spin it around in 3D. And in your Chrome browser, you can build with virtual Lego bricks. This is something Google, I guess, and Lego have partnered up to make happen. And it's a limited set of bricks, I mean, but it's super fun. And I think there's some sort of map location stuff based on this, too. So you can build sets at different... I don't know if you can change your location. I just started playing with it. I saw this a couple days ago and then decided to try it out this morning. And you can, you know, obviously zoom in and zoom out and it's all, but what's amazing to me is it's all in the browser. I don't think it required any kind of plugin. I think they're doing it with WebGL.
Wow.
So some of the technology behind it is pretty interesting and cool as also. So go in and build away on your Lego sets. Now I know Lego had an app like the Lego Digital Designer that gives you a lot more like pieces and things like that you can play with that you can download from lego.com. But what was cool about this is that it's all done in the browser. And I want to try it on, I don't have Chrome on my iOS device, but this actually will probably get me to install it and play around with it. So if you're a fan of Lego, and then somewhat related to that, I noticed Jeff Gamet just posted this morning, apparently the next set in the Lego Kuso. So I showed my DeLorean earlier.
That's cool.
My Back to the Future DeLorean, which is a Kuso, Lego Kuso set. Apparently, they're going to now do, the Echo one or Ecto one from Ghostbusters.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So there you have that. But then I got to show you this. I just saw this one and I was playing around with it. So hopefully this will come through on the video. But check this out. This is called Yakit Kids. And it lets you make little... Yakit.
Aren't they doing the entire... Oh, thanks, mate.
Did you guys see that?
Oh, no. Hang on. Let's put you on full screen. There we go.
Not yet.
So it lets you take photos... And you can add eyes and elements and make the mouth move and basically turn photos of anybody or anything into little virtual digital puppets. So I've got a picture of you and I grabbed off his Twitter.
I'd like to say thank you.
That's kind of awesome.
So, and it's free and nice. It's kid friendly, no in-app purchase, no...
Yay.
So grab that for your kids and let them go to town on with pets and family members. And it's got little cartoon eyeballs and it looks like it has some virtual other puppets you can put in there. I don't know. It looks like they have an Obama one and talking bacon. I don't know what that's all about, but I just literally just downloaded it because I saw it on here show up in the feed and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, just to back on your no in-app purchase thing, I've got to say, I think that we should have a policy of not recommending any apps that have got in-app purchasing. But I got a note from Andy Vaughan, who's an iOS developer, and he said, hang on, what about if I've got an application that requires a database behind it to back it up that I have to maintain or have to maintain a server or something like that for you to access? Where does my income come from, you know? If it doesn't come from the initial sale, because I can't get something that's fairly simple to have a huge price tag at the start, but actually there might be an awful lot of back-end cost to that.
I'm not against in-app purchase. I'm against egregious, like,
£70
for advance.
You know, advance in a game unless I pay. Or, you know, those types of things, all I'm saying is just charge me up front. Tell me what you want me to pay up front. And I'm happy to do that. But if you have something that has an ongoing cost, and I guess maybe some games do, right? If there's a virtual element. But then say up front, this game, you know, it's a subscription service and you need to pay like we do for, you know, console games. You need, you know, $5 a month or $10. I mean, you can do subscriptions. So, I mean, if that's what it requires, then that's what it requires. And as long as you're upfront about it, that's fine. What I don't like is there's too many of these companies that are throwing their stuff up for free. And then once you're in the game, that's when you start get getting bombarded. And Apple, you know, in their wisdom, at least added the whole thing, this contains in-app purchases, sort of badge on the store so that we can get a little warning up front. But, you know, there's a right way to do in-app purchase. I'm not saying all in-app purchases is egregious or bad. What I'm saying is there's too many people, though, that are doing it in that spammy, really annoying way.
Yeah.
So,
we're banning any in-app purchases which are egregious. Anything that's about subscription, then
things where the game is free, but then you actually can't do anything until you buy more snozzberries or whatever. That's not okay. Like, if you want me to pay $2 for your game, I'll pay it. But to be like, oh, you get to play like
30 seconds.
There's no, you're playing along and you get like, there was a match three, like a Bejeweled style game that I had on my tablet. And it was, and you get to a certain point where it says, to get past this thing, then you have to have whatever the thing was. And it was something that you couldn't get in the game. It was something that you had to buy from them. Like, I would have paid $1 if you would have just, or two or whatever, if you would have just said so up front. But now I'm going to uninstall it and now I'm mad at you.
Yep.
You didn't say up front, you cannot continue unless you do this. And that's not okay.
Apparently, Dictator Ewan in the chat room says that we should ban iPhones and ban iOS.
From the show.
Yeah. Thank you for that. No in-app purchases. And Batwinch is put it quite succinctly. It's okay to have in-app purchases. It's just the ones that are taking the piss. Dictator Ewan would like to ban Apple and ban Tim Cook.
Oh.
Who's doing the IP trace on the Ewan troll?
Who's a cute little troll?
Yeah, someone chase down Dictator Ewan and find out where they are in Ironbridge. Exactly. Kelly G, what have you got for us?
Well, as we were sitting here doing the show, I happened to spot in my Twitter feed that there is a hack to Yahoo that they're worried about a bunch of people's passwords. So,
lovely.
Yeah, I know. In what will come as a surprise to absolutely no one.
Everyone's Flickr as well.
Yeah, because Yahoo is tied to Flickr. So my pick today, I've probably picked it before, I'll probably pick it again, is mypermissions.org. And the reason that this is a notable site, it's just a website. And the reason that it's a notable thing is because what it does is on their front page, if you just go to mypermissions.org, you'll see a bunch of icons there for different services. And all you have to do is click on each of those, and it will take you to the permissions and like the authorized app section in the preferences for each of those services. So Facebook, Twitter, Google, Yahoo, LinkedIn, Dropbox, Instagram, Foursquare, Windows Live, AOL, Flickr, they're all on the front page. And then all you do is click on it, and they don't keep any of your information. They don't get your username if you're not logged in in your browser. You'll have to submit your login information to the site. You never submit anything to My Permissions. It's just a convenient place to hit each of these things and then go through and take a look and go, where all do I sign in with Facebook? And where all do I use my Twitter login information to sign in or Google? And today it's very good that they have the Yahoo one up there. And maybe what you want to do is go in and change your password and that sort of thing. But anyway, a good thing to do. I have a reminder set up to do this.
Explain simply what My Permissions does for the person who signs up.
Consolidates all of this for you. And you don't even have to sign up. You don't have to give mypermissions.org any sort of user information at all. You can if you want to. In that they will, you can give them your email address, and then once a month they will send you reminders to go do all of this stuff. They do have an app if you want to do this, you know, via mobile or whatever. But the nice thing about it is just if you go to the page, it consolidates all of these different preference panels in one spot. And all it does is link you over to the preferences, the apps page on Facebook or the apps page on Twitter. And from here, you can just walk through each of these services and make sure they're all cleaned up. Like, I don't recognize that app name. I don't use this one anymore. For a while with Twitter, I was doing it once a month because I'd sign up for some new service that was great, and then the service would go bust. And so then I would just have to go back through and clean all that up. And it's just a good idea because I think sometimes not everyone is aware that how much they're clicking that sign in with Facebook button or sign in with Twitter button.
Yeah.
Instead of generating a new login and password, a lot of people will go, oh, I'll just sign in with Facebook. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But be aware that if somebody gets your Facebook password or your Twitter password, they now have access to all that other stuff that you were doing too.
Right. Yeah. I went through Twitter recently and it was amazing how many things were in there that I was mm-hmm. like, I really don't need that website having access to my account stuff on Twitter
mm-hmm.
or vice versa.
Right, yeah. I just got a quick note from Robert, the guy at Network Union, and he's just said, they're not a BT reseller, they're a BT partner. So I've said that wrong. I think I did kind of affect that, so there you go. Sorry.
Yahoo. So, sorry, I got to ask one clarification on Kelly, and maybe you don't know yet, Kelly, but if you've enabled two-factor with mm-hmm. Yahoo, I would imagine mm-hmm. you're probably safer or safe.
You're much more safe because second factor. So yeah.
Right. I haven't seen anything pop up on my device yet or an email asking for a second authorization. Forget how they're doing it. I think they're doing the cell
definitely,
phone.
Definitely. Yeah. Sign out once in a while or something and test that out. Like if you've set up the two-factor, test it out and make sure that it's working for you. That would be my pick is because, particularly with all the other stuff about everybody's credit card everywhere that isn't chip and PIN, being everybody's data being breached.
I mean, everybody in the U.S.
Pretty much, yeah. If you've ever shopped at Target or Michael's or whatever the other one is.
You're stuffed.
Yeah, you're basically, you know, SOL. So
this is why Apple's payment system would be genius.
No.
I'm just going to come back to one more point. If you're in a contract with BT, your contract is not swapped over, but you can still contact Network Union to dive in and help you. There we go.
Nice.
I did say I didn't think it was about swapping them. I've got it wrong. But then mind. There we go. Greeny, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I've got two things. That's okay.
Make it quick.
The first one is Sound Machine. It's nothing to do with Apple at all, but it's really fun. Hold on. Good, isn't it?
Very good. Yeah, fantastic.
So that's number one. Number two is...
Wait, is that software? Is it soundboard software
for
your Mac?
It's a red kid's toy that he's found on the floor.
Oh, I didn't see. The video is way behind.
So. And compare it to a Windows phone.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. But my main pick, right, and I love Camtasia, don't get me wrong. I think it's the best sort of cross-platform screencasting software out there. But I have been using, for the last couple of weeks, ScreenFlow, which is pretty cool. But so not so much a sort of a pick, more of a tip. If you are using ScreenFlow and you launch Keynote, there's some really great video sort of animation stuff you can do in there. With the new ScreenFlow 4.5, it allows you to do a green screen sort of, you know, you can do the green screen and it takes it away. And so if you create an animation in Keynote, and in the background add a green screen to it and then import it into ScreenFlow, you've got your great, you can do a great animation and it'll key out the background and then you can put it into your presentation or whatever it is, you know, your tutorial video. It's a really cool tip.
You didn't get the message last week, did you?
What?
ScreenFlow shite.
But what about the tip?
Camtasia's way better.
Do you think? What do you think to the tip, Don?
Very good tip. Very good tip indeed. Works very well.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's always hobbled by the fact that ScreenFlow shite in comparison to Camtasia.
Behave yourself, Ewan.
I am behaving myself. I'm protecting the sponsors that we have. TechSmith. Sake.
But are they
shut
sponsors?
The f up, Greeny.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway,
I'm saying nothing.
I was hoping Don would pipe up at some point because I totally ripped that tip off Don's screencast.
I know, but I didn't want to. You know, I knew that's 2 years old, but you know, I wasn't going to say it. You know.
Well, and we know Don's never going to say my pick this week is moi.
Yeah, but Don, you and I suffer from what I call the podcaster disease because I have the same problem, right? It's like, didn't I cover that tip? Yeah. And then I go back and look at my notes. So it's like 2 years ago, I probably could recover it because there's probably some people that haven't heard that tip before. Mm-hmm. I assume if I said it, everybody knows then, right? Do you get that? Maybe it's just me.
All the time. I keep seeing posts for people with tips on Mavericks and stuff. I said, I did that the first week it came out. Why didn't they see my stuff?
Never mind. I've just recently upgraded, so if you have Mavericks tips, I need them.
Oh, of course.
I still haven't. I have to do it. I'm finally at a position where I've got enough stuff off my plate that I probably can dive in and take the time to do it. Just upgraded my wife's machine.
It was actually a lot less dramatic than I thought it'd be, so that was nice.
I was watching the old what's that program called again? Screen something or other. What's it called?
Screensavers?
No, ScreenFlow. And Don's first video says, oh, absolutely go and buy it from the App Store. And then video four says, never buy it from the App Store. Always download it direct from the site. What happened, Don?
Things must have changed. No, I think they're both the same. But anyway, we won't talk about it on Ewan's show.
I think we're ready for Don's pick.
I had mine.
Yeah.
Ewan, are you there?
Thanks.
He gave up.
My pick, Motion 5. It's an old program. It's been around for a while. It's fantastic value, $34.99 if you want to buy it in the UK store. So probably 50 or 60 bucks in the US store. I've had a couple of customers this week who've said, can you? And I'm like, I'm okay with Motion 5. I'm not bad at all. I class myself as fairly good with it. But there's some of the trickier effects. I'm a bit out of my comfort zone with it. So I've had to go and learn effectively how to do some of the stuff that Motion 5 can do. And I've really realized this week just how underpowered my knowledge was before. I've thought I was quite good, but actually there's tons I still haven't learned with Motion 5 that it can do. And I've got a bit innovative this week, and I've really, really been chuffed with what I've achieved with it. I've got to say, YouTube is your friend when it comes to Motion 5. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube that you can pick up, and it's project-based, so how do I do that? And it shows you how to use a moving mask and that kind of thing. And Bezier moving mask, I had to pick a bloke out this week using a Bezier mask and get the Bezier mask to expand and follow him across the screen while he was talking and walking and something else was going on in the background because I couldn't do him on a green screen. And it's massively brilliant. It's superb. So Motion 5 is my pick. If you haven't had a go with it, don't be scared. Don and I had a conversation earlier on this week about that, you know, you can always, most people will get away with doing some basics in Motion 5, but then it kind of intimidates them out of learning anymore. Don't. Go and learn it because it's brilliant and so powerful. Where can we get a hold to you, Don?
You can find me over at screencastonline.com, where you'll find all my weekly video tutorials. Cross on Twitter as Don McAllister. And 1st of February tomorrow, so the February edition of the Screencast Online monthly magazine is out in newsstand.
If you're a Mac user, you've got to have Screencast Online.
Thank you very much.
Seminal. Where are you, Adam?
You can find me over at maccast.com, Maccast on Twitter, the Maccast on Facebook. Also, I do a iOS-related show with Jeff Gamet and Michael Johnston called We Have Communicators. That's at wehavecommunicators.com. That's pretty much it.
And you got to listen to the Maccast again, the podcast for Macs. Kelly, where are you, girl?
You can find me on Twitter and on app.net as Verso, and you can find me hosting the Tua Talkcast on Sunday evenings.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, where are you, Greenie?
Are you still talking to me?
I've just asked you where we can get hold of you.
I think it is just barely, isn't it? BritishMac.com.
Excellent. And that is the podcast to listen to if you've got a Mac from the year 2003. Because he hasn't done an episode since then. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Greeny won't be here next week because his head will be so far up his arse that he'll never get it out. The rest of us will be back, but we're not sure when. We'll be recording on Friday night late on because I've got to work. So see you then. Thanks for listening. Greeny, you're a dead man.